Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I used to be poor, but I ain't poor no more. Even though I can take this, and I think I've done this before, and I'm pretty sure I can look at it right now. There ain't a green bill in there. But that ain't my storehouse, thank God. Well, they actually turned it into gold. The Bible said, God said, all the gold and the silver is yours. I do have a gold car. Hallelujah. So I got the gold. All the gold and all the silver God put in the earth. And that's what our monetary system is based on, right? The gold card. But you got to watch out now. They like to charge you interest. This card likes to charge you interest. So you got to make sure you... This is a debit card, but we're going to be good stewards of God's word. Okay, I'm going to pick up and go as far as I can. A couple weeks ago, I started talking about divine guidance. I want to get back to there because, and I'm not sure, I'm kind of like Tammy, I ain't sure how long we're going to camp in this tent. Brother Hagin, Dr. Hagin, I've read a lot of his books. Man had a heart for God, got healed by God, got fired up by God, and never quit. Stayed fired up. And Brother Keith Moore taught his healing school down in at Rhema Bible Training Center. I think for 10 plus years, Keith Moore now has two churches. Brother Hagin's went on with the Lord, I think, in 2004. And one thing he would say about Dr. Hagin is, you might come in here, you might preach John 3:16, whatever scripture. You might come back the next three or four Sundays, he's still preaching John 3:16. People out here are like, man, is he not going anywhere? But they learned, he said, he's going to preach it until you get it. He ain't taking you no further till you get that. Amen. And he said, ain't no need to go any further till you get that. Yeah. So he was being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And when they got it, he went on to the next thing. Amen. So, you know, I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm the one usually I try to get everything done quickly, but he's starting to work on me a little bit. Just take your time, amen. Go down those little rabbit trails, those little testimonies, because the Master is trying to get us somewhere. So divine guidance, I'm going to pull out my notes, and just to summarize, this is coming from Romans 8:14, which says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I like to say sons and daughters of God. And it's not difficult to do this if we're following the Lord's voice, the great shepherd, amen, his voice. Because he doesn't bring confusion. He's not the author of confusion. He is the author of, somebody help me, L-I-F-E, life. There's a game out there called The Game of Life. I never played it because it just seemed too complicated. Life sometimes can be complicated, right? That game is based on life. But Jesus said, his yoke was easy and his burden was light. He's the author of life. So therefore, our book, if we're going to write a book, it ought to be Life and Peace from Jesus. Life should be full of life and peace, not confusion, not noise. So he's our great shepherd. We need to be following him. Jesus is the good shepherd. He said, my sheep, they hear my voice. I'm just summarizing what I went through the first week. And it's important about hearing his voice. And just to throw this in here, I think I said this Wednesday night when I taught that as we was in the office just going through some stuff, we just ran across a book in there, and it was a Book of Mormon. So I said, okay, let me see that. So what I did, I took it home. I figured I might maybe fumble through it a little bit. That was the kind of week where I was really I didn't feel good. I had a couple of bad days. And that one day I was there in the house all by myself, not feeling too good, and I looked up and I seen that Book of Mormon. I said, I think I know where you need to be. So I took him outside and put him in a big old trash can. I didn't need that book in my house. But as you get into the Word, you know, there's something called apologetics. I haven't taught that course yet, but apologetics is just a tool that you can use to know how to kind of debate or argue the Word of God of what you believe. But my wife gave me some wisdom when we first got born again, maybe just two kids in our life, and we were babes in Christ. And, you know, I knew a lot about the devil's kingdom because I was in it for a long period of time. I'd have to count the years, but it was on up into my middle 20s. But then I was translated, the Bible says, into the kingdom of his dear son. That's what Paul said. I was translated, and I was different. And my wife told me as I was got born again, I'm like, I need to go back and help all these people in these different situations. I might need to read up on like Mormonism. I was thinking about and reading up on the Jehovah's Witnesses because you know they always come to our door. They don't show up anymore. I don't know what happened to them. But anyway, she says, no, you don't need to read that book. You don't need to study that. You need to study that. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, my basic instructions before leaving Earth. Marilyn Hickey said, this is God speaking to you personally. Marilyn Hickey, this ain't just words on the book. This is God speaking to you. God himself, Jehovah, and his son, Yahshua, and the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And what she said, and y'all have heard me say this before, you know, if you work in retail and you try to keep counterfeit $100 bills from coming into your cash register, they show you the real thing. Get a picture of this. This is a real $100 bill. They want you to know what the real thing looks like, so if there's anything fake or counterfeit, it won't look right. Well, see, that's what my wife was telling me. If you know Jesus, all these other religions, it just won't seem right. See, that's their voice. So that's what I did. And she's right. Now, I'm not saying, you know, not to study different things if you need to, but the main thing is to know the real deal. Know Jesus. Know the truth, and you won't go for anything other than the truth. Amen? So knowing the shepherd, because we must be able to discern his voice from all the other voices that's in the world. And I even find that just in literally when I'm out here and I go to a Spanish-speaking home, when I'm out here working on appliances, if nobody's in there that can speak my language, it's tough. So I have to call for help, or I've got me a little pocket translator. I'll have her speak and understand. There's a lot of voices out there. If you don't know that right voice, you're in trouble. But the Master speaks in all kind of languages. It's called the language of the Spirit. And whether you speak Chinese, American, English, whatever there is out there, German, God speaks your language. Amen? So, we must mature to discern between these voices. That's what we talked about. And God's voice is always leading to good in our lives. Yes. It'll always lead you down the right path. Every other voice is a deception of evil that's not his voice, and it's going to lead you to a bad end. Detour. Take you down that detour. That's what the devil's out there to do. So that I'm going to pick up now where we left off. That was just kind of a summary of what we talked about. But we're still dealing with following the good shepherd, the great shepherd. And here's another quality that's going to help us. Let's go to John. When my wife first got born again, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, sent her to the book of John. And she camped out in that book for a long time. See, John always, he was right there at the heart of Jesus. You know, he's the one that had his head in the Lord's bosom. I always said he was hearing the heartbeat of God. You know, hearing his heartbeat. Lord, what would you have me to do? That was the message that I gave last week. The Lord gave me Isaiah. God said, I need somebody to go for me. Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. Guess what God needs? He just needs a willing vessel. You know, don't look anything other than that. Lord, here I am. He needs somebody to go for him and do some things for him. Put your hand. I did that. I said that. And guess what? The Lord sent me. He's fulfilling his word. So you got to make sure before you say, Lord, here I am, that you say to yourself, am I willing to go? Because he wants to get you down and show you some things. John chapter 10. Talking about the good shepherd, following the great shepherd, which is Jesus. John 10, and let's go to verses 22. 22 through 30. The shepherd knows his sheep. It was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter time. And Jesus walked into the temple into Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ," sounds like the devil out in the wilderness, "if you be the Son of God, if you are the Christ," and you always know, the Jews were always looking for a sign. Always looking for a sign. "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them. He's always got an answer. Amen. You ask Jesus something, he'll answer you. Might not be what you want to say or what you want to hear. You better listen. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe." If Jesus tells you something the first time, believe it. Amen? Amen. Just believe it. And then act on it. "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness." I want you to underline that word, witness. "They bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep." Wow. Ooh. "As I said to you." Because he said, "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me." And not only here, now here's your benefits. Here's the benefits kicking in. "And I give them eternal life." If you'll look that up, I'm not sure of the scripture right now, but John said some in the book of John, he said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know him." See, sometimes we think eternal life is just living forever in heaven. Well, that is. But eternal life is knowing Jesus. Once you come to know him, you have all that he has to offer. See, that's the main thing. That's eternal life, is knowing him, coming into relationship with him. And that's the only way to the Father. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Another benefit. "Neither shall anyone," I like this, "anyone snatch them out of," Jesus said, "out of my hand." And then he went on to say, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all." I think we can all agree on that. God is greater than all. "And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Hand in hand. We stood in the fellowship hall this morning and prayed hand in hand. God the Father and Jesus are hand in hand. And when we come into the fold, we are in their hands. And it says no man can snatch us out of his hand. Once you get born again, once you get saved, once you come to his sheepfold, we are saved, sanctified, and filled and sealed with his Holy Spirit. Because he said, "I and the Father, we are one." We must press in to know God's will. Let's look in the book of Matthew. Just like that bird waiting on, you know, his food every morning. God's mercies are new, but every morning that bird's got to get out and go start looking for God's provision. See, once we're born again, we're saved, but we've got to continue in this Word to mature, get built up, to hear God's voice. We've got to stay in the Word, because there's many voices out there. The devil's going to try to deceive us and get us out of the will of God. See, that's what he tried to do. That's what he tried to do to Jesus, is get him out of the will of God. But Jesus told us, he said, "He has nothing in me." Said, "The devil has nothing, no thing in me." Let's look in Matthew chapter 7. We've got to press in. Say, press in. Got to press in. You know, Colette, she messes with cloths, and I like to thank her for making these beautiful aprons up here. That she knows something about pressing things, pressing garments all the time. You press something, what happens, Colette? When you press, take a hot iron and you press it on that garment, if it stays on there too long, what happens? It burns it. Get a mark on that thing. Get an impression. See, if we press into God, it's going to leave an impression on you. Amen? It's going to leave an impression on your body, on your mind. It ain't going to change your spirit, because the spirits are one, right? We are one in the spirit. We get them spirits hooked up, your body's going to change. Your soul, your mind's going to change. It's going to be impressed. Press in. You will be changed. Hallelujah. I was changed. And I told Ruthie, she had some, I'll just kind of put this in right here, that there's a couple of things I wanted to add, but the Lord will give them to me as we go. Took her and her friends to a movie Friday night. And these girls get in, they start talking about Jesus. Now, I'm quiet. I'm just in the front. I'm driving. I'm chauffeur. Shut up, Daddy. Just drive. You know, I don't want to, you know, teenagers won't talk about it. So I'm just driving. But I'm enjoying these girls are talking about Jesus and talking about God and just testifying, talking about things going on at church. Now, that's the friends you want to be around.
Amen.
That's the friends I want my kids going to the movies and hanging out with. Not getting in the car talking about boys. Boys are good, but see, their focus is on Jesus. Stay hooked up to Jesus, and He'll take you to the right boy. And He'll bring the right boy across your path. And He'll be talking about Jesus, right? And how good God is, and how God's going to help him get a job so I can provide for my wife and family. But as we were going, and then I took him to the movies, and I did a daddy thing, hung out with mom a little bit, saving gas, didn't drive all the way home. So they got back in the car, and Ruthie might have to help me, but on the way they were asking, I believe, about witnessing the different faiths, you know, what you believe in, and this or that, you know, how, kind of like apologetics. How do you, I think one of them was asking, she's maybe in the Baptist church, and her other friend here in the car, she's in the Catholic church. So she was asking her questions, do y'all do Mass every Sunday? And yes, and just different things, just questions to ask. And then they went to the movies, but then they got back in the car, and how'd they come into it? They asked Daddy a question. Because Ruthie said, well, my dad's a preacher. I ask him. He knows. I said, well, I don't know everything, but I know Jesus. Like that Jesus they were talking about. I said, but I know Jesus. What was I talking about, Ruthie? One of the girls has scoliosis. And somebody had witnessed to her. There was a visiting pastor that came, or preacher or evangelist that came into the church. And they went down because he had gave a testimony about how God healed. So she was presented to him, and he asked her, well, somehow the question was, she didn't know how to ask for him for healing for the scoliosis, because she's already had pins, she's got pins and screws in her back, so they're doing their job holding whatever needs to be happening to her back. So she's kind of like, God has maybe done it that way. But her other friend, Shannon, who was in the car, said, no, we need to have him to pray for you. So the conversation went, and she really wasn't sure. She was okay with what she had. So as that conversation, as they told me that, the Lord just gave me some wisdom to take her to Mark. Now, in my younger days, I just want to jump out of the boat and lay hands on her and believe God, heal this body. And see, that's a good zeal for God, but the Bible says you got to have some knowledge. You got to listen, to be divinely guided, do what God says do. Jesus didn't heal everybody He went to. He healed everybody that came to Him. Yes. Now, that's different, ain't it? Yes. Yes. So we need to meet them where their faith is. Yes. Yes. So I don't know where she's been and what she's heard, but I know Jesus.
Amen.
So I'm listening to the shepherd, and I said, what's her name, Ruthie?
Amber.
I said, Amber, and I'd talked a little bit about, I'd preached a little bit. I forget what I've ministered on. They asked me, and I started preaching on it. And then I said, Amber, do me a favor and go read Mark 11, 23 and 24 about having faith in God, and whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And I told Ruth, I said, and then we need to get together sometime. We'll have some Bible study and get back together. But see, she needs to know that that's the scripture that set me on my course at a church I was at. And I went to the deacons and said, have you read this? Did you know this was in your Bible? I came across, I said, it said, whatsoever things you desire. Man, I was on fire. I'm like, I got so many things I desired for God to do. And then he said, oh, that doesn't literally mean that. He kind of tried to put my fire out. I didn't let that happen, though. It kind of knocked me back a few feet. But I got back to my wife. I said, I'm not sure if we're supposed to be here at this church or not. Amen. That's when you're starting to decide, how I got to be led by God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 17 years later, I went back to that church, which was Sunday. Now, that person wasn't there, but I'm just saying, I grew. But I couldn't grow there. You can't grow. You got to be at the place God's called you to be.
That's right.
It's a divine place.
Yes.
And His grace and His power and His ability is going to be there. And that's what she needs to know. Is whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, and you shall have it. So if she can get a hold of that promise, and then we get back together, whatever God needs to do, I let Him do His own business. I remember that one prophet that borrowed an axe head in the Bible, made out of steel, metal, whatever it was, and he borrowed it, and he was hitting that tree, cutting it down, and boom, The head come off and went to the creek, sunk to the bottom. Bloop. Oh, Lord. Back then, you borrowed something. You better bring it back. Or you better bring back something with greater value. But he knew he was doing the work for the Lord. If I'm thinking right, they were building the Lord's house or something. There's something going on there. And that prophet made that axe head float. Floated to the top. See, when you do something for God, you lose it. He'll bring it back to you. If you're doing something for his kingdom. And that's another divine guidance. See, the Lord brought it right back. Yesterday, me and Dallas came up here first time getting the yard, getting ready for season coming up. Get everything. I'm thinking I had everything, but I didn't. Because I got a mind, too, that wants to be led to the grocery store and to the food store before you start working. But all these different ways our mind can go. But as Dallas starts mowing, and I'm going to get the weed eater out, he's mowing the field over here. And this ain't something on the inside. This is God said he needs to go ahead and start mowing up here in case the belt breaks. And see, this is a knowing. This ain't just something I'm out here doing. This just comes to me. And this is God. This is how you speak. It'll be something. You'll be totally off track. And you'll be like, why am I thinking about that? You better do it. That's God. I told Dallas, and he just did. I said, Dallas, I said, go ahead. And I said, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if this belt would break, you need to start mowing the front out here where it looks good. We ain't looking over here Sunday. We're looking over here coming in. So I'm out there weed eating. About 20 minutes later, here he comes, sad look on his face. Blades ain't turning. So I'm like, oh, belt broke. That was God. So I got it on. He got about 10 more minutes mowed, and it's completely shredded now. So it's, you know, it's wore out. It needs to be changed. So he didn't have to push quite as much as he would have if he would have stayed mowing this place over here. See, that's being led by God. Now, don't take these little things and think they're not important. Because God says, if I can't lead you in the little things, if I can't trust you with the little things, how am I going to trust you with the, this lady's got cancer, or this sister's got to have a major surgery, and I need to hear from God. Now, I know what I want God to do. But I need to know what does she believe in God can do. Because God wants to work in something. Amen? So that's where we've got to meet people with their faith. Meet them where they are. Amen? And that's being guided by God. Being divinely guided by God. Hearing his voice. And you can get to places where you're just out of the middle of the blue nowhere. That happens. God says, get up here and start mowing over here. Just do it. He knows. Father knows best. It's a good show out there. Y'all remember that show? Our Father knows best. Matthew 7, verse 7 through 12. And see, sometimes when your dad driving you to these girls, they're talking about Jesus, and you're like, man, you're a preacher. I ain't going to get to say nothing to these kids. I know what I want to say. Stay away from the boys. Do right. You'll live long. See, you can take the word, you can use the word as a hammer and knock somebody in the head with it. Knock them out and leave them frustrated. The Bible says we should not frustrate the grace of God. But I'm like, I ain't going to get an opportunity. I'm just going to hush my mouth. And on the way back, see, I didn't know. On the way back, I got to preach. I got to give a word. Amen. So I'm like, see, God tests you. Sometimes he'll say, shut up. Let them do their talking. Amen. What'd I say? We got two ears and one mouth, right? Yeah. For a purpose. Double time. Be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. Matthew 7, 7 says, let's start in 7, 7 through 12. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. It will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and this goes right along with Mark 11, 23, 24. Ask who? Ask God. Not asking what I want, but asking what he wants and what he said you can have. Everything in his book is yours. The promises in his book are yea and amen. Now, you don't want the promises that Job was believing in. I say you got to take and you got to write. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you got to rightly divide the word of God. Amen. See, this book was written for our examples. Bad things that were happening in people's lives were for our examples. See, God wasn't bringing bad things, but he took the bad things and said, now look at this and learn from this. Don't you be an example. I've got enough examples, right? You be an example of my glory, of the good things.
Amen. Amen.
I remember a brother one time, and this was, I knew it wasn't God. He was a smoker too. I used to smoke. And he said, and I went to him, I said, you know, God's helping me here. I've laid down these cigarettes. Now, he had quit. And he said, oh, I know, brother. I'm carrying that burden for you because I'm smoking now again. I'm carrying that burden for you, brother. He's an older brother in the Lord. So the Bible says, don't rebuke your older brother, you know, your elder. But I said myself, I said, God wouldn't make you do something. He wouldn't take something from me that I was doing bad and make somebody else do it. That ain't a burden. That's just an excuse. I said, that's an excuse for him to be doing something to feed his flesh and thinking he's doing God's service. Paul was mixed up in it. Paul was confused the same way, was he not? And I think I later on did that in love and said, hey, and I think I ministered to that brother, that God doesn't put something on you. God gives you something to get you out of something. He gives you the word here. Jesus, did you ever see Jesus say, I'll take that cigarette from you, brother? No. He spoke to things. He didn't have none of that junk in him. I'm not just harping on smokers. Asking will be given. Seeking you shall find. Knocking it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there, verse 9, among you, if he asks for bread, will give a stone? He said, if you ask a bread from your brother, and you give him a stone, if you got bread. Or if he asks a fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, now we're comparing ourselves to God here. Me compared to God, I'm evil as far as comparison in this body. Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, to your children, how much more will your Father, who has no evil, sees no evil, hears no evil, Father God, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who do what? Ask him. Is God just there just to freely give everything to everybody? It's all there, but you got to ask. See, the devil don't ask. See, that's where we got messed up. The devil came in and told Eve, has God said? He didn't ask her, is this what God said to you, Tammy? No, he says, has God not told you? See, he put their focus on what they couldn't have. Has God said you can't eat of this tree? He didn't say, has God given you all these trees? These thousands of trees with fruits? He didn't look at the good stuff. He pointed to the bad thing, which was bad for them. You don't want to know evil. But see, the devil wanted them to. Because then it would separate them from God. Because there is no evil in God, right? There's a separation. There's no separation in church and state. Right? The church, the state needs to listen to the church. That's why they're in the state that they're in. Listen up, state, and I ain't no politician, but that sounded pretty good. You need to come to the church and get your mess straightened out. It used to work that way. The king always went to the prophet and asked him for God's wisdom. Our president, our leaders need to go back to Billy Graham. I mean, once they were there, they got to make a big decision. Get the preacher involved in it. I ain't saying they listen to him. They might kick him out like they did Jesus, but at least get him in the White House. At least invite him. Amen? And I'd invite more than one. I'm not saying they don't. I know they have a lot of organizations that come up there. Okay, so ask God for the good things. Just ask him. Because I'm a parent. You're a parent if you've been a parent. You've got things you want to give. But a lot of times you don't know what they're needing. They just need to ask. And I hope we're not parents, because God's not a father that always says no. That when your kids are afraid to go to dad, call their mom, because they're going to say no. Well, if it's evil, yeah, we are going to say no. But not to the good stuff. But we just can't give them, fill them up with sugar. We can't give them, if they ask for a sucker, we can't give them a 5-pound bag of sugar, though, right? Right? We got to give them in moderation. We got to teach them to be stewards, too, right? We just don't give you everything. We don't give you the keys to the Suburban. You start out with the Ford F-150 that Dallas has run for about 2 years. Ruthie's hoping I'm not prophesying to her over here. Dad, can I have the keys to the Suburban? What do you think about that, Jesus? Oh, he said not right yet. Sorry. Got to do what Jesus says to do. I'm not prophesying that. But I'm going to use wisdom, right? I'm going to use wisdom. Therefore, verse 12, whatever you want men to do to you, what? Do also to them. Because see, for this is the law and the prophets fulfilled. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And see, that's how God can bless you. So we must press in to know His will. We must press in also to gain the fullness of the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the book of Luke, and we're going to finish this week. That's all concerning the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, hearing God's voice, hearing the voice of Jesus. But if you hear His voice, you're also going to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And we've got to press in to hear that voice. We've got to give Him the availability to speak to us. See, the Holy Spirit is not just somebody just going to come in and tell you everything because you're just ignoring it. No, ask, seek, and knock, and then be ready to hear. When you're getting ready, when you're right out here in the yard, when you're getting ready to do all this thing, do this. You know, it's a small, still voice, but it's just like, okay, yeah. I mean, my mind went to, you know, I've been in 8 years of maintenance. We mowed for 8 years. Every first season, we're changing the oil. We're changing the belts. You know, these are things that I knew, that I know, but not today. It ain't going to happen today. Today's Saturday. I'm doing this for the Lord, for the Lord's house, for His work. The belt's not going to break today. Oh, yeah, it will. But yet, somebody out here speaking to you, at least you can get this much done. See, He's about getting things done properly and in order. He's out to help us, right? To make life sweeter by and by. Amen? I didn't say in the by and by, did I, Terry? To make life sweeter by and by. In the now and now, right? See, we love the old songs too, but sometimes we can change the words just a little bit sometimes, can't we? Life can be sweeter in the now and now. It ain't a song we heard this morning, but I've heard one of those. It'll all get better in the by and by. I need something in the now and now. Amen? And it's Jesus. It's His wisdom. It's His Holy Spirit. So let me finish here. We're pressing in to know His will, but also we have to press in to know the fullness of the blessing of the Holy Spirit, which is mentioned in Luke. It's also mentioned in Acts. Luke wrote Acts, right? So he mentioned it again. You need to know this. Jesus said it was important. See, these men were inspired by the Holy Ghost. They just didn't write this because they felt like this is what I need to say. They were impressed. Colette, they were impressed by the Holy Spirit, had an impression on them to do this. They had a witness from the Holy Spirit. And I'm getting there, chapter 11. Kind of teaching and preaching. And I shared this at that church. And see, that's why, you know, I gotta take away these, what do you call them, these blinders sometimes we get put. If you go to a Baptist church, don't talk about tongues. If you go to the Pentecostal church, well, I ain't never been there. What would I not say in the Pentecostal? Hey, that's good, ain't it? I don't know about the hair. Don't put your hair, you know, I'm thinking about the old Pentecostals. They let their hair down. I ain't never seen it, but they say it's a sight. They get them hairs up in the bun and they let them down when the Holy Ghost starts to come. I don't know, but I wouldn't talk about that. Don't talk about that. Well, Paul will take them right to, you know, don't let your outward appearance, it's the inward work of the heart. It ain't about putting your hair up in the bun and letting it down. See, you can get up in all that stuff. It's about letting the Holy Ghost move and do His ministry, right? Where was I going on that? The fullness of the blessing of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I talked about the Holy Ghost. I ended up at that church. And I said, you've got to be born again. Finish the message because it's about stirring them up. Because I've been there and I know what is in this church was not in that church when I was there. Liberty. Letting the Holy Spirit come in and move and listen. And be led by God and not by programs or bulletins. They're all good in their place as long as God's in His place. Amen? Because He can inspire that bulletin. He can inspire that Sunday school message. And that's what I teach at Life Christian University. There's all kind of denominations. People come from all different churches. Sunday school teachers, well, they don't understand like we do and believe in the Holy Ghost. Well, just take the message and be inspired by it. You give the inspiration from God and let it flow over into them. And they'll be like, sisters, what happened to you? That ain't the way I heard Sister So-and-so preach that 10 years ago. Right. Then give God the glory. It's God. Can you come over to my house, have your little cell group? You know, it's okay. You know, we have Bible study here, but if God moves upon you to have a ministry, when I say have a ministry, it's His ministry. Have a Bible study, do different things, whatever God's called you to do. Step out and be willing to beat it and let God work. Amen? Amen. I said, you got to be born again. Yes. Talk about these gifts, to have them stirred up. It ain't going to be stirred up unless you know Jesus. I said, you come to the cross. I said, but you don't stop there. You go on to Pentecost. You come to the cross, and then there's Pentecost. You wait. Wait there for the gift of the Father. It was the Father's gift that was going to be poured out. Amen? And then, I think this is really what God wanted to get stirred up there at that church particular, is that I said, and then, you want all these great things to happen? You got to walk in love. Faith works by love. You can, if you get out of love and you're trying to believe something and things ain't happening, don't blame it on God. You got to look at your love walk. Because your faith, you can say it's working, but it won't. It's not. You got to walk in love. And I put my hand, I remember Dallas, I put my hand on Dallas' shoulder. I said, it's not man's love knowing that you've done something wrong. It's God's love knowing even though you've done something wrong, I love you. Now let's get out of this thing together. See, that's God's love. No matter what's going on in the church, what's happening in years past, what we had a bad preacher in here, forget it. Get the good shepherd in there now. Amen. Believe God for the good shepherd to come in and things can change. Amen. Amen. But it's got to be the Holy Spirit. And that's in Luke 9:13. Luke chapter 11, 9 through 13. Keep asking, keep seeking. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened. See, Luke said this a little bit different. For everyone who asks receives, for he who seeks finds, and to him it knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And see, this is where Luke said it just a little bit different. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? See, they got to ask. They got to want His presence in their life. They got to want His power in their life. And if they don't ask for that, seek for that, God forbid, if they haven't been taught that, they're not going to know it.
That's right.
And say, I didn't know it, but I knew the word. When that was mentioned to me and Mark, that ain't literally what that means. I'm like, I was young, but I wasn't dumb. I was young in the Lord. That was one of those divine guidances that it just went, you know, it wasn't no life and peace. That was death. To say God's word can't happen. Written in red, can't happen? Nope. I didn't receive that. I didn't even put that on the book. Sometimes you put it on a shelf. I didn't even put that on the bookshelf. That wasn't worth putting up there because it was God's word and it was valuable and it changed my life. And that's another point you can get to that Ruthie was asking about. Well, how can I witness to different people of different faiths and help them to understand what I believe? Talk about some of her teachers in school. I said, Ruthie, this is one thing that'll change your life and it'll change theirs if they let it, if they ask. That a person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. I know what God has done for me. I have experienced Him and His Holy Spirit and His power. And it's changed my life. He delivered me from demonic forces. I believe if I put faith in His Word, I started giving it my church. Now I'm blessed in my finances. See, I got an experience. A lot of people don't believe in God. All they have is an argument. It's time to be a witness to Him. See, that's what the Holy Spirit was given, to be a witness, to make you a witness. Not somebody that stands there and argues with them. Tell them what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done for me. You start telling them that, you won't be able to stop. And then they'll be like, well, they'll probably leave. Or they'll say, will God do that for me? Can God do that for me? And then you get to really say, well, all you got to do is ask Him. Then you're inviting the Holy Spirit. Look out now. Ask, seek, knock. Next thing you know, you're leading somebody to Jesus. Right there on the corner, right there in school. Amen?
Amen.
Everywhere Jesus went was an opportunity for somebody to hear and believe. They couldn't be born again yet. He had to go to the cross, but they still had belief in Him. And then He came back for 40 days before Pentecost. Not just to those. He didn't come back to those that didn't believe. He came back to those that believed, and he showed himself to them. Amen. Praise God. Back then, I'd been hoping I was one of those believers to see the Lord, the risen Lord. We're getting ready to celebrate here long his resurrection. Amen. One day, we're going to see him as he is, face to face. But until then, we've got to trust and believe. Not with these eyes, but with this heart. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for giving me the ability, Lord, to be able to give direction to your body here at Word of Faith Worship Center, Father God. That, Lord, just like I heard you yesterday, not an audible voice, but a small, still voice that sounded like a transfer truck to my mind. That, Lord, that your people would be able to hear that in every area, Lord, that they would ask, seek, and knock. And as they do, Lord, that you'll speak to them. You hear their voice, and they know you, and they will hear the Holy Spirit speak to them. So, Father, I just thank you right now, Lord, for that revelation in every area of their life coming to them, Lord, so they can hear you, particularly in decisions that they have to make, day-to-day decisions, Lord, big decisions, little decisions, it doesn't matter, Father, that they hear you from the Holy Spirit. And they'll know this is the way. This is the right way. This is your way because it's from Yahweh. It's the greatest way. It's the only way. Lord, you are the only way. Jesus, you are the only way to the Father. And we thank you, Lord, that we can now come to you and go straight to the Father and hear his voice. And he says today, right now, that he is pleased with you. He loves you and he is pleased with you, just like he is pleased with Jesus. He's saying that today, that I'm pleased with my church. I'm pleased with my people, those that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Be ready to be filled in every area of your life. Be ready to be filled.